picture a leaning tower, and it's over in Italy. That's it. Yes. Picture that, because that's this first photo that's coming up. We wanted to start with a good foundation. And if we don't have a good foundation, eventually the life that is our soul is going to collapse in one way or another, and to one degree or another. How are we coming, Darcy? Should I just slow down a little bit here? Oh, okay. I think maybe I will. Let's see, what else? He lived a sinless life. He claimed to be God. He performed many miracles. And then he rose from the dead. This historical Jesus was thereby proved to also be a divine Jesus. And then Tim went on to share the significance of his ministry on this earth. At this point, I do want to pick up our PowerPoint, so I'm just going to wait just a little bit. It'd be more effective. Yes, Luke? Oh, looky there. Can you do it in 30 seconds? Okay, here we go. You know what, though? I was going to mention this. I should have when I had a little moment there anyway. You guys, if you have a message, it is incredible to watch the Holy Spirit design the worship set for the message. At least two of the songs that we sang today are exactly this message. And I can never remember when I start talking which ones they were. It's just when we're singing, I think, oh, that's it. That's it. That's perfect. One of them is enough. I know that one we'll get to in a minute. Let's pray here. Collect our minds together here. God, thank you that you do have something to say to each of us this morning. The manifold wisdom of God is revealed through our lives because you're in us. Very, very precious treasure. We do ask this morning that we could listen to you, and that you would give us some things to take away that we could apply and experience a life in you in a richer way this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. And then again, if anyone needs a book, I have another book up here. We brought some more if you need one. We'll be referring to it this morning. Okay, so we have this building we put up as a representative that we need a good foundation. And then the next slide is of what happens when you don't have a foundation, when you're not building your house on a foundation that is secure. And the next slide is a bridge that was built in Tacoma, Washington in 1940. It's called Galloping Gertie. Tim used this a whole video. It's great, or half of a video. But the bridge was built in 1940 and opened in July 1st. And by November 7th, this is what happened on November 7th. It only lasted 4 months. Because the building materials were not placed in their proper orientation with the foundation or with the elements that they were lived in. This is in the Narrows, and it gets windy there, and the bridge started galloping. And next slide. This is our slide for today. This is a Roman bridge in southern Spain, and Cordoba, Spain. This one doesn't gallop. This one has been here for over 2,000 years. It was built B.C. I thought it was kind of cool. And then he paid a price for it. See, he could pay the price because he was perfect. He could pay somebody else's fine. We couldn't do that, but he did. The price that sin has is death, the Bible says. But Jesus, having no sin of his own, was able to pay that price. And if you have seen, and many of us here have, if you've seen the poverty of your own soul and called out to him earnestly and exclusively to forgive you, then you now have eternal life. Darcy, do we have on the screens? Yeah, do the next one, please. Do you have the beginning sign thing? That one. This is our title, Just the Beginning. You see that in your booklet, Just the Beginning. I subtitled it Security Restored, Assured, and Experienced. If you're here today and you have neglected to act on the divinity and the purpose of Jesus Christ, then the Bible says that the wrath of God remains on you today. It's a pretty scary situation to be in. And we would just urge you to talk to any of us who have crossed over the bridge, who's passed from death to life. You don't know, like Dexter says, you don't know if you're going to make it home today. So it's a very important decision, and some of us here can help you. I just can't help but believe that the reason that you're coming, if you have not crossed this line yet, is that someday you will. I urge you to let that be today. That would be a good thing. But today's teaching is for those of us who have crossed over from death to life. We had that Roman bridge picture. And I just want to start today by thinking again about the beginning of time. God had created a paradise for Adam and Eve, and he put them in a perfect place. They were created needy in the sense that they needed to eat and to sleep, and they needed some exercise, and they needed a purpose in life, and they needed to walk with God. But their neediness was not an issue because they were secure. They were completely, totally secure. They had all kinds of nutrition in the garden. Everything was there. Sarah's taken this nutrition thing, and she's writing down every single thing that she eats. They didn't have to write it down. It was good enough. They would have lived eternally if they had not sinned. It was available, constantly fresh. There was no decay. There was no expiration date on anything in the garden. It wasn't needed because it didn't rot. It did not decay. They had no hurry in using it up so it wouldn't decay. There was an abundance of every single thing that they needed in the garden. Isn't that cool? They needed no shelter because the weather was absolutely perfect for their body temperature. Completely. They had no worries about the future. No anxiety about their retirement fund or their nest egg. Didn't think about it at all. Because the future was going to be supplied just as well as the present. No problem. They had a purpose given to them by their maker. They were supposed to tend the entire planet. And the purpose was big enough that every human that would have been born could have been a part of it. You got to believe that a God that can make 60 billion galaxies can make enough work for a planet of people to be fulfilled in doing. Not only that, but they enjoyed a relationship with God. Probably at least daily, God spoke with them. At least that's the indication we get from the little that's written there in Genesis. So this is the picture of security that God created before they sinned. And then the ominous day came that arrived when Adam and Eve disobeyed the line that God had drawn for reverence of him. And terrible sin came. Terrible consequences, rather, came from that sin. Where there had been abundant nutrition in the garden, they were driven from it. They couldn't live there any longer. Where the produce was constantly fresh, now it rotted. Where there had been nothing but abundance, now they knew a curse. A curse was on their work, and anxiety entered their lives. Where their birthday suits had been enough before, you know, now they had to cover up. And not only that, after the flood, the elements got so bad that other shelters were needed too. This morning, maybe it's appropriate that we're meeting on River Street. There was a river down the street this morning. We need shelter now, and they didn't need it then. Where security and sufficiency reigned, and they enjoyed it, now they were introduced to anxiety and insufficiency. And you know what? This has become the compelling notion of life. Survival. just to survive. That consumes our thinking, just to survive. It's a dog-eat-dog world now. It's survival of the fittest. We have murdered, stolen, deceived, envied, prostituted, hated, idled, hedonized, cheated, lusted, lied, and coveted because we're insecure and insufficient. And the hole in our souls is very big and very felt and very real. Back in Ames, my wife and I know a family that adopted a young Russian boy out of an orphanage. And in one of the first meals that they had, maybe it was the first one, after supper, after they had eaten, this young fella began taking food, leftover food from the table and putting it in his pockets. Because he didn't know if he was going to get to eat again. He hadn't had that experience before. And that's just a micro picture of what all sorts of things happen in our lives are from. We just don't know if it's going to be good enough, so we take what we can. We lie when we need to. We covet when we want to. Because we just don't know if it's going to be good enough. That wasn't known in the garden. That is what death has brought about. The message that Tim shared last week is the doorway to the solution to that very felt need. Jesus Christ did die in your place, and if you'll honestly ask him to forgive you, he will. But that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. God has wanted to do a lot more than just to forgive you and me, and that's what we want to focus on. This much more is what we want to focus on this morning. He has desired to restore a secure relationship with you eternally. And he has desired to assure you of his sufficiency. The song we sang, he's enough. Ooh, that's a huge lesson. Is he enough? I would dare say for most of us, a lot of the time, we feel like he's not enough. I'm in a panic situation now. I can't find what I have to have right now. Where did I put that thing? I don't have the tools that I need to accomplish the job I'm supposed to do. And we freak out. God wants to assure you of his sufficiency. And he's desired that you experience his sufficiency. We call them God stories. The language of the Bible is all about restoring complete security to your soul. Let's look at your booklet on page 20. We'll start there. Page 20, under the heading Assurance from the Father. Question 3 asks this. If you've been born again, what does the Father promise about your inheritance that you are to receive in heaven? Well, let's just read the verses there in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance that is imperishable. It means it won't perish. It means it lasts forever. It's better than plastic. It's better than gold. It lasts forever. The inheritance that you have been called to is imperishable. It goes on and on and on. And it's undefiled. It won't fade away. We are so attuned to things fading away that we just normally think, oh yeah, it might be good now, but it'll fade. It's just the way we are used to thinking. Most winners of lotteries come to a day when they wish they had never won it, because not only has it faded away, but it has injured them. Most people who win Super Bowl rings fade into the fabric of everyday life. And that was the glory days, not now. Not so with the inheritance that you have been given. It will not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you in the last time. It's protected. You are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There are some well-meaning and sincere believers who believe that you can lose your salvation. We don't see this in the scriptures. We don't believe the scriptures teach this. There are some obscure verses that they bring up to kind of support their point. But when you read this in 1 Peter, an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, and it's reserved, it's got your name on it, it doesn't fit. And I think there are clearer passages than this. We believe the scriptures teach that God gives us eternal life. Look at page 22. Point one is John 3:16. We know that one. God so loved the world. We know that one. It says that the gift that Jesus came to give you was eternal life. That was the gift, eternal life. If you think that you can have your salvation revoked, then the reason that you think that is because you think some enormous sin that you commit is going to cause God to revoke it, which is an insult to the work that Jesus did on the cross. Hebrews 10, verse 12, says that he paid our price once for all. One sacrifice, he has paid the whole price. It's sufficient. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said this, man sins like man, but God forgives like God. You can't sin big enough that he cannot forgive, other than the sin of turning away and rejecting him. He will not forgive that one. But your sin is a minor issue to a God who is willing and has the power to forgive. Receive it. Enjoy it. Respond to it. One of my favorite verses on this topic of eternal security is from John 5:24. And the context of John 5 is where Jesus was doing a lot of works, and he said, I'm only doing what my Father told me to do. I'm only doing the works that my Father, that I saw him doing. And they validate my life as being the Son of God. And then he said this, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me, and what he means is believe on God that he sent Jesus to do the work that he said he was going to do, has eternal life and does not come into judgment but is passed out of death into life. So the giver of the gift decided that the gift would be eternal life. That's what's in the package that we received when we received Christ. The package was eternal life. You can't change it. The giver of the gift decided it would be eternal, and that's what he gave, eternal life. You have received eternal life. It's not going to stop. It's eternal. And then we have to look at Ephesians also. So far we've referenced the Father and the Son, but look at Ephesians 1:13. This is on page 24 in your booklets, just so you know that it's in there. But it says this, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed not by him, but you were sealed with him. The great mystery, the New Testament talks about a mystery, and the great mystery that was revealed was what the Holy Spirit was going to do. After Jesus ascended, he sent the guys back to Jerusalem, and he said, you guys stay in Jerusalem until my Father sends the gift that he promised to send. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to do. And they certainly didn't know that he was going to come inside of them, Jew and Gentile alike. It was a tremendous mystery to be revealed, not only that it would be Jew and Gentile that God would forgive, but that Jew or Gentile alike, the Holy Spirit would come inside, never to leave again. Ephesians 1:13 says that we were sealed with him by the Holy Spirit. He is never going to leave. God has placed his official seal upon you, and he's put his Holy Spirit in you, the next verse says, as a down payment. And one day he's going to come back and take you to be with himself. Guaranteed. Before we leave this point of eternal security, I just want to look at a couple of verses in Romans 8 concerning, this is how God attempts to make you feel secure. Verses 38 and 39, Paul is writing and he says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see here that we're not granted a new Garden of Eden. That's not the plan. That's not where we gain our security. We're not granted a new garden. We won't experience exactly what Adam and Eve experienced before they sinned. They had both external and internal security. You know, it was all around them. All of the, everything they needed. Why would they be insecure? They couldn't be. They were doubly secure. They had external evidence and they had God's relationship with them. But these verses say that neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God. Death was the consequence of their first sin. God's not going to turn the clock back on that one, at least not now. We're still going to die physically unless he returns. So he didn't, in his mind, it wasn't the best to just put us into a new Garden of Eden. Instead, he simply promised that he would be with us. In fact, suffering in this life is guaranteed. We're still under the curse. But the security is that the love of God will overshadow every problem. That's another song that we sang, that our sufficiency is in him. Our security is that the love of God will overshadow all of the difficulties. His love transcends geographical, educational, governmental, social, economic, doesn't matter, all the boundaries. And he will bring us to be with himself one day. These verses mean to me that our relationship with him has been restored, eternally restored. We are secure with him forever. So you say, well, Bob, that's really nice. I mean, I still have to live my life. I believe that one day he's going to come and receive me, but how does that help me now? And I'm so glad that you asked that question because I want to answer that question. God has restored our eternally secure relationship with him, but he's done something more than that. Something for our daily lives. God also desires to restore our assurance in this life. Assurance was lost when Adam sinned. And anxiety entered, insufficiency, and the sense that, oh, it's all up to me now. I got to get it for myself because nobody's going to watch out for me. God doesn't care. He's left me. That's the sense that we have. I want to point out something. Adam's assurance was simply based on the fact that he had everything. It was all around him. Why would he be insecure? God is getting, and I'm not critical of Adam for being secure. I mean, how else would you be? But our faith is of even greater value in our relationship with God if we're willing to take hold of it. Trust is a huge blessing in human relationships and a huge blessing in a relationship with God. Here's how it works. Hebrews 11:1 says this, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's a little bit like saying, well, you'd be happy if you were content. I mean, it's just circular reasoning. But this is how it works. In order for faith to become useful to you, it must be tested. It has to be tested. For it to grow, it has to be tested. The Bible says that hope that is seen is no longer hope. Why do you hope for something that you already have? So God allows situations in our lives to go beyond us in order that we must rely upon him. Maybe an example is better than a lecture on this. And the example would be the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, Paul is relating an experience in his life. He had this affliction in his body. And here's what he said. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And I don't think that means that he said, oh God, please take it from me. Oh God, please take it from me. Oh God, please heal me. I think he means he had three seasons of time in his life where he said, God, this is too much. This is an impediment to my ministry. Take it away. Please. And he has said to me, Paul writes, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And so I believe over a period of time, Paul came to this statement, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions even, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you see Paul's sufficiency source here? He had been restored to sufficiency. This is something for daily life, not just eternal life. His sufficiency was being restored. He said to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't mean that I can jump a mountain in a single bound. That's ridiculous. What he meant was, God has given me sufficiency for what I need to do. How much more than sufficiency do you need? Sufficiency is sufficiency. And the sufficiency is towards an experience in life, a frustration, a difficulty. That's the arena in which God can give us sufficiency. I wanted to say one other thing about this, though. This process that is described, here Paul entreated the Lord several times that this would pass from him, and God spoke to him. This is an example of someone in earnest desire to be sufficient in God. And you and I won't have this. We will not have this apart from being students of the Word of God. Because we just think like humans think. And we have to have God's perspective on our lives. You can't hope in God if He hasn't spoken into your life, into your situation. And I just don't want to leave this subject of assurance in everyday life without saying it's only going to be yours if you do two things. If you're a student of the Word of God, and if you step out in obedience where He has to come through. Otherwise, you'll never experience this sufficiency. This is what He wants to give you. This security of assurance is something that He wants to give you. But it's only available when you give Him your mind, you give Him ability to speak into your life and your situation, and then you step out boldly, courageously, in situations that He has to come through. All right, let's move on here. Not only does God want to give us eternal security and the comfort of restored sufficiency through His Spirit, but He also wants us to grow in the experience of His sufficiency. We call it God's stories. Look at this little passage in 1 John 3. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. When we do the things we believe He would have us to do, we have a certain sense of His pleasure on our lives. It's an experience with Him. My daughter-in-law was just telling me a couple of days ago that she was going down Grand Avenue in Ames, Iowa, and out of the corner of her eye, she saw somebody waving. It was an urgent wave, and she stopped as quickly as she could, drove into a driveway and ran over. And here was a lady trying to help a person who had fallen, an older person who had fallen on the snow and ice. And the two of them were able to get this person loaded into the vehicle. She said he was just dead weight, just, you know, a fish. And they succeeded. And she said that the feeling that she had of doing that was so sweet to her. She knew that's what God had arranged for her to do. In that moment, she experienced an assurance in a way that, you know, you can only talk about it. I mean, you can't completely talk about it. It's just in you. It's a God story. It's a personal speaking to your life. And that's what we're talking about here. Look at another passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now for this very, this passage is preceded with Peter saying the same things, that God has given you everything that you need for life and to live a godly life. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours or increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. This is the verse we want to focus on. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. That means that if you're not involved, you'll lack this. You'll lack the certainty of the relationship, the experience. If you're not in the game, you won't experience the thrill of success in the game. And God wants us to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. This was a great elation to me in my young believer days. I had some great doubts as a young believer. Just many times I doubted, did I do it right? Did I pray the prayer right? It was a free gift. Maybe I muffed it up somehow. And what gave me a huge bolt of encouragement and assurance was when I had a testing situation that God allowed me to walk. He gave me a promise, a passage. I reviewed it over and over and over and over and walked according to it. And I had this certainty. Yeah, I'm his son because I'm walking like his son. He let me in an experience that I need to walk with him in, and he gave me assurance as I did. One more verse on this passage here in Hebrews chapter 6. God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So God wants us to be assured in our relationship every day as well as for eternity. It's one thing to have eternal security, it's another to walk with him in everyday life, and he desires all of the above. God has wanted to restore your security even in the midst of adversity. Even after the fall of man, we can be secure. He wants you to be secure that you're going to heaven, and he wants you to experience also a sufficiency that outpaces the insufficiencies of life. And he wants you to experience walking with him. Wants you to experience doing the good deeds. It says he's prepared good deeds for you to walk in. He wants you to enjoy that experience of walking in them. Much was lost in the garden. Much is restored in Christ. Trusting Christ alone for salvation is just the beginning. Next week, we'll see one of the first big steps you can take towards doing what he desires. I hope you can join us. We'll be back over at St. Benedict's. Let's pray here. God, we thank you this morning that it's scary sometimes living down here. It's scary stepping out to do your will sometimes. It's scary being in situations where we're insufficient. It is. It's not like living in the Garden of Eden. God, I just pray that since you've come to dwell inside of us, we would be able to let you be fully displayed. So let your sufficiencies come. Help us in those moments when we feel like panicking to know that you're there. That's another song that we sang this morning, to know your presence, to believe your presence. Help us with that day by day in Jesus' name. Amen.